Welcome to our first Real Family podcast. I'm Roz from realfoodfamily.com, and I am here with Kathleen Chapman, the kid expert, and her website is kathleenchapman.com. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Roz. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited for this.
So am I.
I want to start by jumping right in, Kathleen. I want you to tell us a little more about yourself and who you are.
Okay. Tell me when to stop. Okay, I can just, I'll keep going. I am a happily married mom and grandma. I'm called Mimi. But my husband and I have been married for 46 years, and we love the Lord, and we're privileged to have three kids, three grown kids, all in ministry, by the way. And they have, between them, 10 children that are now my grandchildren. So I'm a pretty busy lady. And I love helping young families and moms and dads in how they raise their kids.
And tell us a little more about your career.
My career as a as an author and a speaker, probably the most familiar to some of the audience would be I've written books on worship with kids, teaching kids authentic worship. And I've written books on theater because I have a children's Christian theater that I write, produce, and direct. So about 15 years ago, I started studying the temperaments more actively. I've always found them fascinating, but since I work with so many kids on a regular basis, I was wondering if it would marry over to my relationship with children, and it has changed my world, rocked my world. Yep. Getting interested and under the microscope, the four temperaments and how kids are born with a temperament and how we can communicate with them so much easier and have a relationship as a teacher or a mom or a grandma, understanding their temperaments and how each of them are made.
Yeah, absolutely. And about your children's theater, that's how we met. So how long... Do you want to say how long you've been doing and directing children's theater?
Okay, yeah. Probably I'll stop at 35 years since I'm 38. So it's a little hard to get longer than that, but it's true. I think, Roz, you were 2 years old or three when I met your mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I had you on my stage from 4 years old on to about 15. So we became really, really close as families because your dad is my musical genius,
yep.
Gene Roberson, who does all of my background tapes and writes music with me. And he's been doing that now for, okay, do I want to say 25 years?
A little more than that, but we can leave it there.
Okay. All right.
Well, yes. Yeah. So a little about me for this audience. I grew up with your programs. They were called Star Pack and Drama Camp. And it's so funny as I get older meeting people that were also in those programs and all over this area where we live. It's really cool because they were so impactful. And yes, I did go on to perform professionally on Broadway in some productions, which was such a great dream come true. Which you were in the first program bio as a thank you to Kathleen because you influenced so much of that. I became a parent. I have three daughters, so I'm kind of the mom in the trenches here. And my professional career, I did finish a degree in health arts and sciences, and I focus on health and nutrition. That became my passion. But I've continued to teach. I was directing a high school performing arts department for a few years. But with all of this, yeah, Kathleen, I always introduce you as my second mom because of the influence you've had. And I do give you so much credit for my successes right now with parenting as I'm trying to, you know, navigate through the craziness, and, you know, my performing career. But really, the whole episode in my life that became really, the topic that brought us here to this podcast and where we are right now is the parenting element. So a couple years ago, I had just two daughters at the time, and my oldest was, I think, 4 or 5, and she was becoming extremely defiant or just strong-willed, and I was freaking out. I didn't know what to do because it was like I was sitting here fighting with my 4 or 5-year-old, and I called you. Do you remember that?
I remember a few phone calls I got from you. Remind me about the first one.
Well, I for some reason, I remember being in the kitchen and just the kid was wanted water or a different bottle for her water or something like that and was screaming no to me. And I just, a little light bulb went off in my head like, I don't think she's supposed to be doing this. But, you know, anyway, and I just felt like I had lost control and I had, you know, decided to start homeschooling. I just felt like, what in the world? Am I just doing everything wrong? You know, I'm a strong-willed person myself, knowing my temperament, which we can get into later. But I thought I was going to be good at this parenting thing, and I thought I was prepared. And I thought I, you know, had read quite a few things and whatnot. And I was an idiot. I mean, I had lost everything. So you basically told me I was a green parent. And I didn't know what that meant, but I thought that you were wrong because I thought, no, that doesn't sound right. I'm not a green parent. But basically, you kind of came over a couple times and you started teaching me about temperaments and your color coding system. And it has absolutely changed my life. And not only with my kids, but with every relationship that I have. Yes. And I'm kind of now addicted to determining people's colors. And so tell us a little bit more about that. Tell us about the temperaments.
Okay, you were talking about being green. So if our listeners have not understood this, no, nothing to do with Kermit the Frog. Just how we color code the temperaments. This is not new to me or to the world. I want to say Hippocrates back in 300 BC started using it as a medical term. He divided the human race into 4 types of people. So this has been around a long time. But I ran into an author about 15 years ago who did it for children. She actually wrote a book called The Kid Book. And she categorizes the 4 basic temperaments into 4 colors. And I'll identify them real quickly. There are 2 strong colors, 2 strong temperaments, and they're usually loud. And there are 2 quieter temperaments that are run a little deeper, and they're usually a more of a passive type personality. So let's go with the strong ones. Red is the number one temperament that is probably the CEOs of the world and the President of the United States and everything that you can see as far as leadership goes. Reds are the strongest, and they pretty much will conquer the world if there's not anybody alongside of them to mellow them out.
Yes, exactly.
Yellows are also on the loud temperament, but they're the fun ones. They are not as driven as the reds. They are more interested in people and fun, and they also are loud, as I said before. Then you get into the 2 quieter ones, and the blues are the planners of the world. They love charts. They love lists. They love things that that will make life a little more organized. And they are also called a melancholy because they run very, very deep. And that is the blue. A lot of artists and musicians fall into that category, but not limited to. And then the last one is the green temperament, and they are the most likable of all 4. They are the easiest people to live with. They are very level, very quiet. They are the type of person that you would like to have as one of your friends. And they are easy to get along with, and they don't like loud noises, and they don't like a lot of fighting, and they don't like the world to be upside down. Peace is what they want at all costs. So when you have those 4 temperaments, and you know that God actually planned this ahead of time, it says in Psalms how He designed us from inside, when we were inside our womb, He actually designed us. And you come out and you're born with a predisposition, which is a temperament. So it's kind of fun to figure out who you are and what you like and what makes you tick.
Yes, exactly. Also from a parenting perspective, I mean, I think that the key to using temperaments with parenting in particular is discovering what your temperament is as a parent and how that influences each individual child. Because sometimes I say, I think the sad thing is that there are these books and, you know, whatever the teaching is, that there is one way to parent a child, and realizing that there is not one way. I mean, there are some foundational things that you might decide, this is what our family's about, this is what, you know, this is what our mission is as a family and our foundational things. But the way you parent each child may look a little different based on your temperament and how that works with the child.
Absolutely. Because I think you parent as a green, which means you are a nice mom and you don't want chaos in your home. You would like things to run very smoothly and you would like everybody to be peaceful. And that's how your temperament interacts with each of your kids. So explain the three different temperaments you are living with.
Well, first I have to deal with my own temperament, which is kind of overwhelming sometimes because, and I think that's a great idea to talk about our temperaments real fast. Mine is a red green.
Yes.
So, and I think as I get older, the green becomes stronger. But red, you know, as a child, I was the leader. I was directing my own theater programs at recess in first grade holding auditions and everything. And that has been the driving force. My green, yes. As a parent, I did not take advantage of my red. And I think what we discovered was I just was too wishy-washy and I kind of lost my authority because I have a red Blue as my oldest, who's 8 now, and I think it's just difficult, let's just say that. I mean, I have all girls, you know, and so with a red Blue, they think and overthink everything, but the red is so strong-willed, and so I'm dealing with a strong-willed perfectionist, but she's also driven and affectionate and loving and thoughtful. So we have, I think that's the beauty of this, is discovering the strengths and weaknesses of each color. My middle one is all yellow. I'm still trying to figure out if it's red or green as her second temperament, but let me tell you, yellows are so much fun. But the challenge I find with my yellow is discovering how to have really meaningful moments with her in life. And then the baby, she's 2. And I know she's red. So thank you, Jesus, for giving me 3 reds. but I'm thinking she's a red green, just like me, but we discover that, right? As they get older, we start to see the temperaments and it becomes a lot easier to discover what to do. You know, with that. And I think what would be interesting, Kathleen, tell us about you. And, oh, and let me tell you, my husband is a yellow green. So he's fun and he's thoughtful and he's
laid back and he is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's true.
And he deals with me. I think the struggle I have is I'm a dreamer on the green side, and then my red wants to make every single idea I have come to, you know, come to fruition.
Right.
So
right.
I have to. My husband's great at kind of, you know, letting me know, like, calm down. Let's just go a little slower here and take, you know, and not try to do everything that you think would be a good idea.
Right. Well, I am a firm believer of a support system when you have small children, an outside support system of people that can speak into your life, like maybe your parents or some other, like I'm a teacher that adopted you years ago. Because your temperament sees each of your children in one particular way. And it's nice for someone to shed some insight and say, yes, I think your oldest is definitely a red. but she is also such an amazing heart. This girl would do anything to help anyone. And I can see that maybe easier than you can mm-hmm. because you're in the trenches right now, you know?
Yes.
But I am I'm a yellow red, and I have pretty much scored 50% yellow, 50% red on most of the tests. But I do find that my yellow is far more obvious outside of the home, and my red is far more obvious inside the home. So I was a red mom when I raised our three kids. And they can tell you I was not there to win a popularity contest. I was really strict. I was really consistent. Right. The red was really consistent. And so they knew where they stood at all times. And they knew what the rules were at all times. And it was, it worked for me. And the fact that I'm a yellow outside the home, the kids could also see me when I was having fun and I would have fun with them. But it's interesting how the different temperaments play out in your role as a parent. And that's what you're finding out, Roz.
Yes.
You were a red as I watched you grow up. You were this dynamic red kid that was going to conquer the world and pretty much did. And so few of us saw the green in you until you became a mom. And that, so it was a nice balance. It's nice to see you as a multi-dimension person as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I discovered a lot more of my green as I became a professional in the performing arts world, because really I would perform and I loved being on stage and doing my job. And then all I wanted to do when it was over was get out as fast as I could before people lined up at the stage door and get home and kind of hide and relax.
Okay,
and
yeah,
I did not want to do anything extra in life. I did not want to go out. I had no interest in in the social life stuff. I had plenty at home,
right,
with my husband and my animals.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I think something that would be really great. Oh, well, tell us real quick about your husband and your kids, because I think what's neat is, realizing all your kids are in leadership and in ministry, but they're not all red. So you don't have to be a red to be a leader.
Exactly. Exactly. This is really interesting. I married a blue red. He is by far the most important person in my life. He balanced me out, my crazy yellow and my driven red. He came in as a balance. And so it's interesting when I talk to young couples, how I say it's really nice that not all your temperaments, you don't marry your exact temperament. That's a real good balance. That's part of what makes a good marriage, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But our three kids, our daughter, our oldest, was a blue-green, and our middle one was me. He is a yellow-red, and our baby, our youngest, is my husband, a blue-red. So however we got our daughter, we none of us know. But she is probably the nicest of all of us because she's a green. And they do have the reputation of being the nicest people in the world. Anybody who knows you, Roz, they will say, oh, I love Roz. She is just a doll. So they honestly do not see a lot of the red in people.
I'm blushing. But I do have to say, because as a parent, and I want to talk in a minute about weaknesses of each temperament.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell other moms that I have a problem with losing my temper and yelling, they're always shocked, and I'm going, really? You don't see me as someone who yells? Because I feel like that's all I do some days, and then it just defeats me. So anyway, but yeah, I guess you always say that, and I'm like, really? I don't think people see me that way, but I guess so.
They do. Yes.
And tell us real fast about what each of your kids is doing, because I think it's just a testament to your ministry and your consistency as a minister and a parent. I just am so inspired by what your kids are doing now.
Oh, thank you. Well, our oldest, our daughter, is also in ministry, and she is right now a children's director at a big church in the area, and she is working for a headhunter organization for Christians and for churches. So she's really active in placing people around the country into ministry, into where they're called. So she loves knowing the temperaments and understanding who fits where. It's really fun that she incorporates that in her job. Our middle son is a pastor of a Christian school. He is called Pastor Mark of 800 kids that he ministers to every week, teaching in chapel and then going into the classrooms every single day of every single age group and teaching them God's word. And then our youngest has been a missionary on the field in Peru for 9 years and just returned home. He is still with the mission organization and probably will find some ministry that he can do closer to home. So we're glad to have him back.
Yes, and I would ask you all the temperaments of your grandchildren, but that will take a long time. But
I think it would take too long.
What's the beauty of it is, you know, this isn't just about parenting and the grandchildren, and it isn't just about, it goes into teaching. So for teachers that are dealing with many different children, and and then, you know, the husband-wife relationship, I think the beauty is realizing some people are like, oh, we're just not meant to be together, or, you know, you have to find your perfect match and all of this. And it seems to me like, no, if you understand temperaments, then you can learn how your temperament best works with, you know, the partner exactly. that you're working with, whether it's your spouse or your children or your students, or even every single relationship that you have, whether it's, you know, your child's teachers or coaches, or it just really helps you know what to do and what not to do. And I think that's what we'll really be able to talk about with this podcast is just continue to dive into the dynamics of relationships. What would you say are the strengths and weaknesses of each? And if you want to maybe think of it as like strengths and weaknesses for adults and also for children of each color.
Okay, I want to throw one more thing in here before I do that, Roz, okay?
Okay.
The element of turning your temperament over to God, because that is huge when you're describing the strengths and the weaknesses of a temperament. I had a conversation yesterday with an 11-year-old granddaughter of mine, and she was really frustrated with her little brothers and sisters, and she said, Mimi, I'm red, and I just get mad. I just get mad all the time. I just get mad. And I said, okay, but now think about the fact that you asked Jesus into your life. She said, okay. And I said, he takes that anger and he actually can diffuse it because all we have to do is ask for his help. And it was so exciting to see her face light up like there was an alternative to what she was experiencing. And when I teach on temperaments, I talk about this is how you're born, and this is what happens to the equation when you put God in the mix. If you turn the negatives over to God, he actually levels them out to make you into the person that he designed from the very beginning.
I love that.
It's kind of exciting. So you don't get all depressed when you hear about the negatives of your temperament, because that's what God's for.
Yeah,
he actually did that. And that's another way the Holy Spirit lets us know that he's alive and working in us, because we can see what happens to our life.
Yeah, so true.
Yep. Okay, I'll start real quickly. You can tell me to quit or tell me to speed up, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's start with the yellows. The positives of the yellow temperament for adults and kids is that they're people pleasers. I mean, people. They are people pleasers too, but they love people. It's just they love fun. They love people. They love parties. They love everybody having fun and having as many friends as possible. A yellow doesn't really have any downtime. they have high passion. And so when a yellow is disappointed, it may look like they are blue and that they're going into the depths, but it's just a temporary disappointment where they go down as fast as they go up. A yellow just loves life. The negatives of a yellow are that they're not always truthful. How is that? They tend to have the weakness is a moral weakness in the yellows. They lie easily. They cheat easily. You talk about someone who is not born with a moral compass. A yellow is not. They don't think anything's wrong with lying to say something that would make you feel good. And it was so funny. I did have a conversation with a child one day that said that. She said she tells everybody they're beautiful and everybody she loves them because she wants them to feel good. And it's something a yellow would do. A yellow is not necessarily a real deep temperament. They tend to be a little on the surface and they tend to love pretty things. And they tend to be more interested in what the outside looks like than what the inside looks like.
Yes.
And you will find yellows that will be decorators and dancers and fashion experts and things like that, because that is what they are attracted to.
Well, and I would add that it's not that they're not meaningful people or that they're unintelligent. It's just that they actually find meaning in what maybe a blue might consider something stupid and shallow. And so when I said earlier that I have trouble finding out what kind of things I can do to have a meaningful relationship with and meaningful moments with my yellow, it's because I'm not yellow at all. And so I don't find meaning in silly, fun things where those are the things I need to do to have the meaningful times with my yellow child.
Exactly. Exactly. No, and yellows are not any less intelligent than any other temperament. It's just that they tend to look like they are more shallow.
Right. Oh, and I would say from a parent perspective, I think the danger with a parent that's not yellow with a child that is hurting them and harming them by making them feel like they're not smart or that what they care about is meaningless, you know. And I have sadly, you know, like that's something I've discovered, like, you know, where I'm like, I kind of feel, why doesn't she understand this? And, you know, why doesn't she care? And why is this so difficult for her? And it's not an intelligence thing. It's a temperament thing.
Absolutely. I walked out in front of 500 people one time to speak. And the first thing I said was, I don't think my earrings match my outfit today. Now, half of the audience burst into laughter. And I could tell that they were the yellow-green people who would like me. Yeah. And then there were the blues that looked at me and were just aghast that I would open a very serious conference on that note. And then there were the reds that had no idea why they were there. If I was going to be the speaker. So it does. All the temperaments can tend to judge someone that they don't have, judge a temperament that's not, you know, one of theirs. So it is. Yellows get a bad rap. And I'm very proud to be a yellow. I say often that I apologized for my temperament when I was growing up because I was so loud and so boisterous. And then I realized that God did this on purpose and that I am going to be able to reach kids that maybe somebody else couldn't.
Yes.
Just as of my temperament.
And you do. And your fabulousness and your obsession with Miss Piggy and your earrings and your heels and all of that is what makes you unforgettable and makes kids, they just cannot wait to be with you and be with your programs and your storytelling and your imagination. It's a gift, and that is why God made you the way that you are.
That's exactly why he did. Okay, let's go to the red. The red is the power driven. I would say that yellows, their highest desire is for friends. The reds, their highest desire is for power and to get things accomplished and to accomplish the dreams and the visions that they are. And to win. Reds have to win. And they have to be the leader. And it's a very, very strong temperament that is very attractive when you have them as the president of a bank, or you have them in the presidency of the United States, or the pastor of a church, but it's not so attractive when it's a third grader. And they are out to conquer their class and their teacher and everything else, you know. So it's challenging to have a red temperament as a child, especially if you don't have any red in your temperament. They will run the family. They will call all the shots if you don't take care of it. And that is very serious. But the reds, their positive certainly outweigh their negative, especially when God's in control. I love giving the example of Billy Graham is a red. And what he accomplished for God in this world and this lifetime was just unimaginable back when he was growing up. And he was a red, and he powered through, and he, of course, had God on his side. But what a great example of a red. They have so many positive things because they are leaders, because they do want to help everybody. They want to help them with their own idea, but they do want to help everybody. And they're always right. That's one thing that's a trademark of a red. Even in a child, they are always right, and they love to argue. So that's the part of me that butted heads with my husband when we got married. His red was much smaller than my red. His personality is 3/4 blue with a little bit of red. But when I started having to be right all the time, his red reared its ugly head, and we would have some really knockdown fights when we got married. And I was like in shock, thinking, well, this can't be something that God ordained. How in the world could I have married someone that would fight with me or argue with me?
Well, I had that problem with my husband. We were, you know, dating and early marriage, and he has no red. And I would argue with him and beg him to argue back.
Yes. Yeah, that would be you.
Why won't you argue with me?
No, it's not fun. It's not fun. So praise God, we learned early on about our temperaments. And clear back in the 80s, there was a book out by Tim LaHaye, Discovering Your Temperament, Spirit-Filled Temperaments. And that helped us, but I did not know that this could actually be something I could identify with children. I just thought this was a phenomenon for married people. And that's why when I got into this 15 years ago and started studying how incredibly important it is to understand a child's temperament. If you're going to teach them anything, if you're going to be living with them, make your life so much easier and understand what's going on.
Seriously.
Okay, that's the red. Let me jump ahead.
Can I add anger? Yeah. Some parents are like, why does my kid have such a temper? Or why do I have such a temper and I yell so much? I would just say, from personal experience, that is your red. Reds get angry. Reds have the red temper. And yep. That's something you need to understand and embrace and to give it to God. That's what I would, you know, encourage moms to do, is give it to God and also take care of that with
early on.
Yeah, and meet with people and talk about it and work through that and use that red for, you know, as reds, we could be angry or we could use our brilliance.
That's right.
To figure out something that's going to be a solution for the problem instead of giving in to the anger. And this is something, just throwing it out there, that I am constantly dealing with.
Exactly right. I said that the weakness in the yellow is a moral weakness, and the weakness in the red is an abusive, angry weakness. And the world, wife abusers, children abusers, husband abusers are reds. Mm. So it is definitely a trait of the red temperament. Yes. So we go to the blue, and the blues are supposed to be the most intelligent. See, I have to argue with that because, of course, I am not blue. But they're supposed to be the deepest of all four temperaments and the most intelligent. And they are the ones that love to study and love to read and love to learn. They're teachers and professors. And this is the blue, the financiers of the world. They love numbers. They love anything that makes this world a better place as far as programming and planning. And blues are not out for attention. They take the back seat. They don't like the spotlight on them. They are, believe it or not, they are some of my best actors on stage because they take it seriously. And they study like no other temperament when they get a script. They study and they do a character study. They find out who they're supposed to be on stage, and they memorize it, and they work so hard at it. So they are really, probably in Hollywood too, the best actors and actresses are temperament.
And for a moment, I would encourage parents who want their children to be the star of the show or want their child to be the best athlete or the one that wins, realize that as children, you know, it really is often the red blues that are going to be getting those roles and getting the best grades. And it's not fair to put the pressure on a child. All temperament children will be fine. It just happens to be the red blues that are driven and perfectionist. So those blues, you know, let them be blues and don't put the pressure on them if they're not.
Yes. Oh, no, they are brilliant people, but their weakness is their focus is on themselves.
Yes.
And the blues have the highest highs and the lowest lows of all the temperaments. And the blues are guilty of being so melancholy that without God, some of them actually get so depressed and so low that they can't climb back out. And I use Kurt Cobain as an example of a brilliant musician who could not climb back out once his blue monopolized the melancholy in him. And the highest suicide rate in the country right now, of the children in the country right now, are the melancholy kids. It's the fifth highest cause of death between 5 and 15 is the depression of a child. So that's a scary thing. And if you have a blue child, it's important, it's vital that you recognize who they are. And their depression is probably to be taken a lot more serious than if a yellow child had it, or a green, or a red. The blue child is really seriously in danger of taking it to the worst degree. Mm-hmm. So that would be a blue child. And the green children, they are the nicest kids in the world. They are the sweetest kids. You love having them in your classes and in your schools and in your home because they are the sweetest kids in the world. They love peace. They love consistency. They don't like you to decorate their room every other week and change it around. They love to know exactly where everybody's going to be at all times. They just are sweet, loving kids. And because of that, nobody notices that they have a very, very strong will. And it's funny because if they want to accomplish something, they will do it, and they will do it in the sweetest manner possible. And you don't even recognize that they're getting their own way. And as parents, it's really funny. I remember telling my daughter when she was young that I wanted her bedroom to be like this, and that I needed her lamp to be over here on this side of the bookcase. And she said very sweetly, oh, she would rather it be over here. And I remember saying, no, the plug-in is over on this side, so I need you to keep it over on this side. I think for the next 5 years, it was on her side of the desk. And I never realized what she had done, because she just knew that she was going to have it her way, because she was so sweet about it. She just never argued with me. She was just the perfect child. And it's really funny. We joke now that she is still the perfect adult in our family, because everybody loves to have Nancy around because she's just so nice. And it's like you, Roz, having you come over. You're such a doll, and you're so nice. And that's the beauty of the green. But they do have a very strong will, and they pretty much... it's called a passive-aggressive tendency. So they pretty much get what they want unless they have a mom or a teacher that understands this and has them do things the way they're supposed to.
And you taught me about the green with that passive-aggressive. Greens, if you cross the line with a green, you know, or if, you know, they have their make-or-break standards. So when you cross the line, that's it.
And
you know, so a lot of times, you know, you don't know something's wrong with a green, and then suddenly they won't talk to you anymore, right?
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Oh, exactly. Perfect example is a couple we know. and the wife is a green. And for years, she's been unhappy, and has they've gone to counseling, and the husband thought that things were going well, and she decided that she no longer was going to be married to him. And right. She never raised her voice. She never did anything. She just one day went down and filed for divorce. Shocked him to death because he said, I thought things were fine. Right. I thought things were getting better. And once she had made up her mind to the fact that it was over, it was over. So yeah. A green has an interesting temperament.
And I've heard that story too many times. Mm-hmm. So that is so key for relationships, that greens will do that. And it's really important to, and any, you know, as far as a relationship being over, a green will decide the relationship's over and it's very difficult to get them to go back. Right.
Right. It's over. So, yeah. It's really over. The whole beauty of, the temperament, knowing about the temperaments is the fact that when you are a Christian and you give your temperament to God, so many of the negatives of the temperament, like I said before, he levels them out. Mm-hmm. And he actually uses the negatives to further advance his kingdom on this earth.
Right. So, and the Bible speaks of a transforming of your heart and a renewing of your spirit.
That's right.
And that's something that only God can do. And it's so true.
It's beautiful when you're dealing with kids. I can't tell you enough that a child understanding the temperament, just like my granddaughter the other day, she's a red, and I can't wait to see her when she grows up, what she will accomplish in this world. But since she's turned her heart over to the Lord, she now knows that she can pray about her anger problems. She can pray about always having to be right, always wanting to start an argument. She can actually take that to the Lord and get help. And that's the beauty of all these temperaments.
And that's the beauty of a parent wanting to raise their child in the Lord, as far as having some direction on how to do that and how to help them have a sincere relationship with the Lord, even as children. So
right.
Okay, so I think we're trying to stick to closer to 30 minutes. So I wanted okay. to say, I think the homework for this podcast is for everyone to go discover what their temperament is. Can you tell everyone how to do that?
Well, the simplest way is to subscribe to my blog, because if you do, you get a free ebook that has a synopsis of all the temperaments and a test. And that is KathleenChapman.com. When you open it up, it says, put your name here. It's free. And just put in your name and yes, you want it. Then I send you two emails. The first one says, are you really Roz? And the second one will say, okay, thank you for signing up, and now you can download your free ebook and your temperament test.
Perfect. So do that. I want to mention that these podcasts are going to be posted in many locations. It really helps us, of course, to share and tell people about this and comment, and we'll be on iTunes, so you can leave reviews, and that's how podcasts get shared. But anywhere this is posted in the descriptions, we will include any links and information of things that we've been talking about. So you can head on over there. And yes, be sure to visit and subscribe to our websites. And that's KathleenChapman.com. And my website is RealFoodFamily.com. So we talk about natural health, but also the need for relationships, because that really does influence our health too. And any final words, Kathleen, that you want to share before we go?
Roz, I'm excited that you're doing this. I'm going to tell everybody I know, because this will help everybody from a wife and a husband to a school teacher to a parent to every area of life right now. This is really important.
Well, I'm excited too. I'm excited because it's going to kind of be my therapy that I get to have on the calendar.
Good.
That I get to talk to you and just dive into all of this, because I love it. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and we can't wait to talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.